You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. The San Joaquin Valley is one of the two most polluted air basins in the country. That's why in 2018, two communities here, Fresno and Shafter, were chosen as part of AB 617, an ambitious state law that enables community members to get involved in cleaning up the air. Now, 18 months into that process, FM89's Carrie Klein checks in on how it's going with Nyamin Martinez of the Central California Environmental Justice Network, Janet Gardner of Caglia Environmental, and Jonathan London, a professor of human ecology at UC Davis.
So first, there are some bureaucratic terms that I wanted to kind of get out of the way and make sure that we keep straight. There's the State Air Regulating Agency, known as CARB. There's the local air district, which is just here in the valley. And then there are these community-level steering committees, which is where we're going to focus here. So, Nyamin, I'd like to start with you. You're one of the environmental justice representatives on Fresno's steering committee. Can you start by telling us how community members were brought into AB 617 and how this process was different from other air improvement initiatives?
Well, at the forefront of the implementation of AB 617 was the idea that they wanted involvement from community members since the inception, meaning not just in public meetings where they could get feedback of the result. But the idea was to invite community members, invite agent advocates, invite business representatives to apply to be part of this steering committee. Ever since, we have been meeting mostly once a month, but during the summer, it was more than that. And again, it was an opportunity for all the stakeholders involved to have a say as of what the air monitoring plan was going to look like, where we wanted the monitors to be, but at the same time, what were the strategies that we think were supposed to be included in that community emission reduction plan in order to cut down the emissions.
And so the steering committee that you're a member of, well, and there are steering committees for every one of the 10 communities chosen for AB 617. And so the one that you're involved in here was working together with the air district to come up with these plans.
So you're right. There were 10 communities for the year one implementation of AB 617. Fresno was one of those. One of the unique elements of our committee is that it was, as I know, the largest of all the 10 communities. Most of the other steering committees were mostly 20 people. Our steering committee at once was maybe over 40 members. Over the months, of course, the participation kind of declined, of course, meeting fatigue, if you will. But there was still a consistent number of a variety of stakeholders who were still attending meetings on a consistent basis, both representing the residents who live there, the EJ advocates, but also some business representatives.
So a lot of enthusiasm here in Fresno, especially.
Yes.
Okay. And Janet, you're a business representative on Fresno's
Correct.
Steering committee. So this committee has been meeting for close to 18 months now. You know, in that time, what are some of the initiatives the committee has come up with to improve air monitoring and air quality here in this area?
So on the initiatives and what they were looking at is some of the causes of the air pollution, since they already had some data, and then resolutions and how to improve those and where good monitoring locations could be to further add to their data on what is really happening and what do we need to do to clean it up. And the initiatives that they have going forward were, what pieces of equipment? Is it the highway corridor? Is it the diesel trucks? Is it lawnmowers? Is it charbroil grillers? What things are causing the most issues that we can hit and start knocking those air emissions down and making it a better environment for people that live there, people that work there, and the whole community? Realizing one of the major intersections in this one happens to be North 99, the 180, where the rail station also is. And that's a heavy area on trucks, on trains, on traffic. And that is a very heavy area where at certain times, if there's a train going across and all the trucks and traffic is stopped, you're going to see that the emissions are going to go up if trucks are idling. So there's already some things in there cutting down on truck traffic trips, and a recommendation from the committee to look at rerouting traffic farther away from the where the communities and the homes are, and away from the schools, so a reroute of those, because there was already some known knowledge. it's not necessarily fully complete, and that's why we wanted the monitors to do some more monitoring to find out where are these heavy hit areas.
Okay, that's great. And so last week, state air regulators actually approved this plan here in Fresno, a similar one from Shafter also, but not without considerable discussion. So, Naimeen, why don't you start by telling me, I mean, how has the environmental justice community responded to this full plan here in Fresno?
Well, we have also diverse opinions, even within the environmental justice advocates. There was one group who was asking for CARB to reject the plan and take it back to the drawing board. Then there were some of us, including my organization, that were asking for a conditional approval. Mm-hmm. And then there were others that say, it's okay, let's just move on. So even within our EJ advocates, we didn't agree 100%. However, what was really positive is that at last meeting in Chapter, where they approved the two plans, Chapter and Fresno, there was a really constructive discussion as of what things were okay from the plan that was presented, but what things can be improved. And then there was an agreement of how to do that through the implementation plan. So some of the specific things that were added in the resolution that the CARB board voted on were, for example, not only saying, yes, the residents had requested for a rerouting of diesel trucks mm-hmm. away from their neighborhoods, but there was no funding allocated for that particular strategy. After the Thursday meeting, what happened is that the Air District agreed to include funding for that strategy. Another thing was, for example, to really consider the recommendations from the steering committee when they were going to be reallocating the funding that is available, because there was a plan, right, that the Air District approved in September. But then in October, the steering committee met again and they were giving different suggestions. For example, maybe let's cut down the money that we had allocated for locomotives and maybe put more money towards replacing school buses. Mm. So according to the resolution that was approved Thursday, the recommendations made by the steering committee are going to be taken seriously, if you will, by the Air District and make sure that that funding goes towards those directed priorities. So, I mean, I think that definitely we walk away with a stronger plan and implementation plan, and that we have very set parameters of what are we going to working on in the next 6 months. As the California Resources Board agreed to come back, not to Chapter, but to Fresno, to hear back from the steering committee and from the Air District, what is the progress made so far in the implementation?
Wow. Okay. So there was a lot of really getting into the nitty-gritty at this meeting last Thursday of, you know, how much money are we putting in each actual pot here and which of those will actually be the most valuable to community members.
Yes, because I think that another unique element of this plan was that they really wanted to include mitigation strategies so that residents don't have to wait, you know, for 5 more years for the air to be cleaner. So some of those mitigation strategies include, for example, having filters installed in public schools in the area of AB617, having funding allocated to plant trees as vegetative barriers for this pollution, among other things that residents consider that was something that could be done right away while we wait for the emissions to go down.
I think that's one of the things that all of us really wanted to know was that there's going to be some flexibility within it, such that as we go down the line and this information is being gathered and we see what's working and what's not working, is that we can make adjustments to make it work instead of being locked in mm-hmm. to, no, you have to follow this, otherwise we have to open the whole thing up again.
And Janet, you know, when it comes to kind of the business side, again, of kind of viewing this plan, did you find that those stakeholders shared kind of the same qualms and were looking for the same conditions that the environmental justice group was looking for in this final plan?
Were we looking for the same things? Well, we want to be able to move forward, and business wants to take a stake and wants to make sure our surrounding community, and we want to support them. We are a business, though. We are not a nonprofit. So there are certain things we have to do to ensure the future of the business. We can't just make open space and parks. Do we want to include that? Yes. Do we want to do vegetative barriers? Yes. There's certain other things that we do want to do. We would like to move one of our warehouses over. So getting down into the nitty-gritty, the biggest benefit that we've seen as a business is just sitting down at the table and having the communication with the community, with the environmental justice, and listening and having that understanding. And it has been humbling, and it has been a really good experience. But I think working together moving forward, we have to continue to listen to each other and to work together.
Yeah, well, and now, Jonathan, I'd like to turn to you. So you've been studying the AB 617 process throughout the state, not just here in Fresno or Shafter. Your research also was partially supported by CARB. So, you know, from what you can tell, has AB 617 achieved its goal of being inclusive and engaging the community perhaps more than other air regulations have?
I think AB 617 has made some really important strides in setting up more inclusive processes. There's these community steering committees, as there are in Fresno and Shafter and eight other communities throughout the state, are very diverse in terms of their representation with, you know, community residents and organizations and businesses and local governments and other key stakeholders. So that's been very positive. They've done a lot of work to try to get those to be broadly representative of the communities in terms of, you know, demographic backgrounds, and they've done, districts have done a pretty good job of that. I think where it's been a bit more challenged has been some of the issues that Naimeen mentioned about falling off of resident engagement. And I think that that's not just been the case in the Valley, but in other parts of the state. And I think some of that is, it's a very long and intensive process. Some of the steering committee members in some of the places have not received stipends, and other places they have. Mm-hmm. So with lower income members, that's challenging to give that amount of time. The work has been quite technically complex with air quality monitoring and some of the science. And the steering committee members, as I've seen, have really devoted a lot of time to understanding those issues and have become quite sophisticated, but it just takes a lot of time to get that kind of level of engagement, and that's not easy to sustain. So if this is going to be a long-term sustained process, not just in these, you know, pilot communities, but throughout the state, there's going to need to be some more effort put into coming up with a solution that really can engage people in a long-term way. One other issue of inclusiveness is there's only 10 communities selected in the first year, and now just 3 in the second year. So it's not nearly the coverage that's needed across the state to address the communities that have these really significant air quality problems. So ideally, there could be some of these lessons learned that could be adapted by other air districts elsewhere in the state, or just the same districts with more communities within their territories. So that's another important part of the inclusiveness.
Yeah, and then what about the actual effectiveness of the law? I mean, do you think it really will be transformative? Will it improve air quality, you know, in these communities?
So I look at the issues of transformation in two ways. So one is transforming the process, which we've talked about. And I do think that there's a really different way of doing air quality management that's brought down not just from the state to the regional level, like the air districts, but also now from the regional to the community scale. And that's really innovative and really unprecedented to some large degree. And so if that kind of model can be really, you know, fully established and resourced, I think that can be really, really powerful. In terms of the impact of actually improving air quality in the communities, I think that it really has a lot of possibility to do that. And I would say to go further to then address health disparities, which ultimately, we're concerned about. But I think that's going to need continued effort by the districts and really for the community organizations and residents to hold the districts accountable to make sure that they continue to prioritize these communities, since they have a lot of other things that they need to do. But this needs to continue to be front and center of their work if there is going to be that kind of improvement in these communities. They're also going to need to involve a lot of other agencies, the city and the county, because they deal with land use. You know, the Air District doesn't deal with land use, and their transportation districts and school districts, and you know, in the coastal areas, there's the ports. So, you know, the air districts themselves are crucial and central, but for the work to be transformative, it has to transform the whole network of organizations that are ultimately affecting air quality. And it's also really going to need, again, resources from the state to make sure that the districts have the funds they need, that there's funding for community to be able to participate. So there's strong responsibility at the state level as well.
I would like to add to the question about effectiveness. I think, you know, we don't know, right? We're starting the implementation right now, so that's a question for 5 years from now. However, one thing that the blueprint, which is really the framework for the implementation of AB 617, calls for is having benchmarks or, you know, emission reduction targets so that we can say, you know, this was the baseline and we were able to cut it by this much for every strategy. Some of our strategies that were part of the SERP had those targets, but not every single one. So that was one of the asks that a lot of us were still making at the meeting last week, is that in order for us to really measure the effectiveness of all these strategies, we need to have a way to assess what the progress has been made. And that there was the explanation that they are trying to still figure out how to quantify the emissions for every single strategy, that the idea is that as information becomes available, they will be plugging in that data so that we can all have a way of measuring the progress made. But definitely we're in the beginning of the implementation phase. So that's a really good question for 5 years. And, you know, I guess we will have to see milestones that we can achieve in 6 months and 12 months so that we don't wait until 5 years from now.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of metrics that show what the progress is, because we need to be able to identify the things that aren't working and shift those funds and those resources to things that will work. And that's one of the key things that I think came up at Thursday's meeting, is we need some flexibility in this, because if we're going down the line and then seeing through metrics, through results, that it's not working, we don't want to keep putting money into what's not working. We want something that's going to work and alternatives to get there. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, I will look forward to getting an update later on. Naimeen Martinez, Janet Gardner, and Jonathan London, thank you all so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.